And you're a day in the second chelik, the beginning of the second chelik, some kufchof, the din of Tfilas Kalim is dealt with. It appears in the very last Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the last daf and a half of the Masechta. The mitzvah Tfilas Kalim is based on a pasuk in Chumash and Pshasmatos, where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu that her last job that he has to take care of before he dies is Nekom Nechmas Bnei Yisrael Meis HaMidyonim Achat Yosef Alamecha. Right after Melchemes Midyon, he's going to die. So Melchemes Midyon, they captured a lot of the Jews won the war, and then they captured a lot of trefa pots and pans from the Goyim. So the Torah requires that they should kasha the pots and the pans, and it says you need libun on those trefa pots and pans that the Goyim used to broil trefa steaks, and you need hagolah on those trefa pots and pans where they cooked the trefa soup. And then the pasuk concludes, "Ach be meinido yischato." How do you translate "Ach be meinido yischato"? Targum Onkelos always gives pshuto shel mikra. So he writes, "Be mei adayusa." Mei adayusa means water that you sprinkle. That refers to hazor shlishi shvi, when a person is tomei meis. The meis is aviyavoy satuma. A person who comes in contact with the meis, the tuma goes down. Whenever tuma is transmitted, it goes down a madrega. And Tumah, the Gemara said, the first daf in Baba Kama, told the same Lavka Yitzbeh. When the Tumah is transmitted, it always goes down a Madrega. So, if an Adam is Mekabel Tumah from the Meis, the Adam becomes a Rishon, an Avi Avha Tumah. Meis Avi Avoisa Tumah, Adam becomes an Amma Tumah. So, the same is if Kalim are Mekabel Tumah from the Meis, they'll also become an Avha Tumah. If it's clean Matechas, there's a special din of Cher Vere Kacholo. It may have the din like Avi Avais HaTumah, but for sure it'll be Tomei. So in order to become Toher, it's not sufficient. By all other Tumas, all you have to do is go to the Mikveh or a Mayan. By Tumas Meis, if you're an Av HaTumah, it's not enough just to go to the Mikveh. You have to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi with Por Adum water, and then you're able to go to the Mikveh. So the simple translation of the Pasuk is, when you have the Trefa Kalim that the Jewish people confiscated from the Midyanim after they won the war, you have to kasha the trefi kalim if you want to use it to cook kosher food, because tam ki iker. And then it says, achma meinido yischato, you have to be metairit if you're interested in making the kalim tar. So you have to have hazosh lishishvi b'me'ado yuso, and then you toiv lo in the mikvah. That's the poshe pshat, the way Targum Onkelos says. Rashi points out, poshe pshat. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. This is a question whether this is a drasha gemura deraisa. It's only an asmachta mid rabbanan. An additional level of interpretation. B'mayim shehanido tavelas ben. Ach b'meinido yischato. After you kasha the kelim, you have to go in order. First you kasha to remove the treif of bluya, and then you tovel it in a mikveh unrelated to tumas meis. Unrelated to tumas meis. Even if you don't have any poraduma water, let's say bismanazeh, we don't have any poraduma water, so we can. Can't remove the tumah if there is a tumas meis or whatever tumah there is on the kelim. It's a mitzvah of tvilas kelim. Why is it called the mei nida? Mei nida means mei adayusa lahazos. Nida is lahazos mei adayusa. The sprinkling water. No, maim shanida tavelas them. What does that mean? So Tosis explains what that means. Why don't you just say the mei ach be mei mikveh yischato? No, so Tosis says there are three dinim of tefillah b'mikveh. There's one din of tefillah b'mikveh if somebody is tomei, or kelim atomei, adam kelim. There are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah, adam kelim, ochel mashkin. The only two categories that lend themselves to tefillah b'mikveh is adam kelim. Some kelim, it doesn't help. Kli cheres, it doesn't have tarah b'mikveh. The Gemara has a klal, the end of Masechet Zeirvin, kol shein al tarah b'mikveh, in a nasa av hatumah. Kli cheres, because they can't have tarah b'mikveh, we learn that from a pasuk, they can never become an Av HaTumah. So let's say you have a mace in the room, he's Avi Avos. Then you have wooden kelim in the room. So there's a machlokes, but the cheref harekachol only applies to kli matechas, or applies to all kelim except for kli cheres. So let's assume that it's machlokes Rashi. And Tais machlokes the Rambam and the Rabbi. Shach quotes the machlokes. And Hilchas Tumas Kohanim in the end of your day. So if one should assume that cheref harekachol is restricted only to kli matechas, so let's say if you have a wooden kli in the room, so the wooden kli won't become Avi Avos, it'll become an Av HaTumah, because yesh lo tara b'mikveh. If you have a kli cheres in the room, since kli cheres have no tara b'mikveh, so they can't become an av hatuma. So the meis avi avois and transmits the tuma to the kli cheres, so it goes down two madregas. It doesn't become an av; it becomes a rishon hatuma because the kli cheres have no tara b'mikveh and an as av hatuma. Fine. So there's one din that all the mekalim, most of the kalim, leaving out kli cheres, have tara b'mikveh to remove the tuma. Then there's another din of tefillah b'mikveh. Let's say a woman is a nida, so she goes to the mikveh, so she's no longer tami tumas nida. Then there's another din that if a woman is a nida, she's asur labayla. When she goes to the mikveh, she becomes muteris labayla. Tosis and Baba Kama and Daf Yud Aleph and the Kuzari. It's famous from the Kuzari, but it says in Tosis also, you don't really need the Kuzari for this, that these are two unrelated dins. It's not that the woman is an av hatuma, and as a function of being an av hatuma, she's asura labayla. And once you remove the tumah, then she's mteris labayla. The two function unrelated to each other. There's a possibility the woman will be a nida deraisa labayla, and she'll be tahira. The woman will be tmeya minatayra, and she'll be mteris labayla. The two are not totally subzer. Rav Chanan Vassman has a long essay about this to prove this point in a Sefer Anyivamas and the Kavitz Oris. So there are two dinim of mikveh. One din of tefillah and mikveh removes tumah from other mekalim, except for kli cheres. Another din, matirisha labayla. Moshe Lamal Davadayim, I buy a tray for salami from a store, I dip it in the mikveh, and it becomes a kosher salami. The woman is a nida, so labayla. She goes to mikveh, has nothing to do with removing tumah. The woman becomes mteris labayla. Then there's a third din of tefillah b'mikveh, when you want to elevate one's level of kedusha. A non-Jew wants to convert. So a ger habol isgar has to go to a mikveh because he's going to be endowed with kedushas Yisrael. Or when the Israelim, after Matan Torah, when they all became Israelim, when Shevet Levi was chosen, so they acquired kedushas leviya. That's a machlokes. Is there such a thing as kedushas leviya? There's a sefer kedushas levi. But Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva, obviously he thinks that there is such a thing as kedushas levi. The Meshech Chachman was a kohen. So he makes fun. He said, no such thing as kedushas levi. The Shevet Levi, they don't have any more kedusha than anybody else. It's usually assumed not like that Meshech Chachman. Usually assumed that there's kedushas leviya and Shevet Levi, two different dinim, and some dinim of levim depend on kedushas leviya. Some didn't depend on Shevet Levi, because sometimes you have Shevet Levi without Kedushas Levi. So the Pashtus is like the Kedushas Levi, not like the Meshech Chochma. Kedushas Levi, Barab Levi Yitzchak, Berditchev, Chassidus is safer, and Chumash. So there's a third din of Tefillah B'Mikveh, when a ger is Bala, he's Geyer, or when Bnei Israel, some of them were chosen to be endowed with Kedushas Levi, so they all had to go to Mikveh. Or when the Kohanim were chosen, so they have Kedushas Kuna, so they had to go to Mikveh, it says in the Chumash. Or when a Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he's going to put on Bigdei Kuhuna, so the Halacha says, Bizman should be Gdei Maim Kuhnosim Aleim, Ein Bigdei Maleim, Ein Kuhnosim Aleim. They're two different Kedushas Kuhuna. There's a Kohen can do Pidyon HaBen without wearing Bigdei Kuhuna. Kohen gets the first Aliyah without. Kohen is also Bigiyoris, also Bigrusha, is also to go to the cemetery even if he's not wearing Bigdei Kuhuna. So there are two different Kedushas Kuhuna. There's a Kedushas Kuhuna Sheba Migdash, and there's a Kedushas Kuhuna Sheba Gvulin. So Kedushas Kuhuna Sheba Migdash, to enable the Kohen to be Makro Karbonis, for that you need Bigdei Kuhuna. So when he's about to put on Bigdei Kuhuna, he has to go to the Mikveh, because he's going to be endowed with an additional level of Kedushas Kuhuna. Okay, God Lan Yom Kippur divides the Avodah into five units. First he does Avodah Bigdei Zohar, Bigdei Lovin, Bigdei Zohar, Bigdei Lovin, Bigdei Zohar. So each time he's about to put on Bigdei Kuhuna, he has to go to Mikveh again, because when he took off, when he wakes up in the morning, he wants to put on Bigdei Kuhuna to be endowed with Kedushas Kuhuna Sheba Mikveh. Then he takes it off. He's about to do the second unit of Avodah. He's going to put on the Bigdei Lovin now, so he has to go to Mikveh. So that's what the Gemara says. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Chomish Tevilas, Vasor Kiddushin, does Kiddushin Daim Raglaim. Every time he puts on or takes off Bigdei Kuhuna. But Tevilah in the Mikveh he needs every time. He's being elevated to a higher level of Kedushas Kuhuna, namely Kedushas Kuhuna Sheba Migdash, but the Bigdei Kuhuna has to go to Mikveh. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yoina writes. There were two different famous Rabbeinu Yoina. One's Rabbeinu Yoina Hasfardi, Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. He was a Mechutin of the, he was Rabbeinu Yoina HaChosid. He was Mechutin of the Ramban. Their children were married together. And that's the Rabbeinu Yoina who wrote to Shari Tshuva, and the Rabbeinu Yoina Ambrochus, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina Ambrochus. Then there's the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi, not to be confused with each other. Rabbeinu Ashkenazi wrote the Sefer Issa Lehetah Ha'aruch that's quoted every single page in Yerideya. The Shach quotes at least once on every page. Aleph Vav Hei, that's the Issa Lehetah Ha'aruch of the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. it's clearly not on the first page, on the title page. They've made a mistake in the European edition. Say, this is Rabbeinu Yonah Girondi, the one who wrote the Shaar HaTshuva. It's clearly not. He never quotes any Sfaradish Paskim. He only quotes Rashi and Tosfos. Only quotes Balei HaTosfos. So it's clearly a different Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a different person. Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi writes in Issa V'Heta, the Shach quotes it here. In Siman Kuf Chof, that Tfilas Kelim in the Mikveh is an idea of Geirus. We're Megayer the Kelim. If the Kli once belonged to a non-Jew, then a Jew buys it, so you have to be Megayer. So the Rishonim say, you don't want to be Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodai. The Gemara has an expression, Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodai. After you Tovel in Mikveh, still holding on to the dead Sheretz, gonna be Metame you again. So here, there's nothing being Metame. You have to kasha the Kelim first. That's how it says in the Chumash and Parshas Matas. First you have to kasha the Kelim, and then you do the Tvila in the Mikveh. If you'll be Tovel in the Mikveh first in the Kli, still Treif, that's considered a Pechina of Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yodai. There is a Machlokes in Rishonim, is this La'ake, is this Li'kuver, or is it just L'chatchila? So that's a big Machlokes. So the Shach says, what if B'Dieved, the person was Tovel, he bought a Treif of Kli from a Goy, and he was first Tovel the Kli, and then he kashed the Kli afterward. Does he have to be Tovel it again? So that's Machlokes. So we paskin, you should Tovel a second time, B'li Bracha, because of this Machlokes. So that's the mitzvah of Tvilas Kelim.
Can you eat it
after
it's
kosher
for Shas or not?
You should not. You should be tovel the second time.
Even Shas Tzadkar.
What do you do if you have kelim that need tefillah and you can't be tovel? You have no mikveh. What do? You're stuck. So the eitz in Shulchan Aruch is you should be mafke the kelim. Someone may hear that you have to be mafke. There's a din with the rabbanon. You have to be mafke in the presence of three people. Two have to be kosher eidim, who can testify that the third guy picked it up and was zechem and after. So if you're going to be, let's say it's Eretz, I have tevel makelim and I have no other forks and knives to eat with. So what am I going to do on Shabbos? So you have to be mafke the kelim, and you have to be mafke in the presence of three people. So if they're good friends of yours, they're going to grab the kelim. If they're real good friends, then they won't. But if they want to be wise guys, once the kelim are hefke, they don't belong to you, so there's no mitzvah tefilas kelim. So l'chatchila, the Seder should be observed, first to kasha, that's the way it's described in the Chumash. First to kasha the treifah kelim, to remove the treifahs, and then to be tovel kelim. The Gemara says that maybe when you buy a suit, maybe you buy a sweater, trousers or something, also you have to do tefilas kelim. Gemara says, no, klei suit iksuvim b'parsha. The Chumash only talks about pots and pans that they use to cook the food, or forks and knives that you eat the food with. If it's not klei suit, if it's clothing, you buy clothing or something else like that, that's not chayim in tefillas kelim. In the Chumash, the simple pshat in the Gemara seems to be that tefillas kelim is deraisa, and on mateches, and on klei schuches, it's only midirabbanon. That's a simple reading in the Gemara. What motivated the Chachamim to make a din derabbanon that you need tefillas kelim on glass kelim? So the Gemara said, because in a certain sense, glass is similar to mateches. That if mateches develops a hole, If you have a hole in the pot, so you can hold the pot near a fire, it has to be a very high fire, till the mateches is going to start to melt. It's not going to melt in your kitchen, but if you have a very high fire, it'll start to melt, and then when it melts, then it'll be able to plug up the hole. It'll melt over there, plug up the hole. So the same is true regarding glass. Glass is made from sand, that you heat it to such a high temperature that it melts, and then you make the shape. So if you have glass and it breaks, it's possible to fix it by melting it again and recasting it again. So the Gemara sounds like it says that that's the reason why midirabbanon you need tefillas kelim on glass. Some Acharonim write that it's not true. Tefillas kelim on glass is minatur. Some Rishonim say that tefillas kelim on matech is only midirabbanon. This is Stira in the Ramban. The Ramban Chumash writes, he thinks that tefillas kelim is only rasmachta, and the poshep shat and the pasuk achta may need the yischato is b'mei adayus. It goes on azol shlishi shvi, doesn't God being tovel in the mikveh.
After it was treif, or we're talking about
stamped from a... Even if it's kosher, right. Even if it's kosher pot, if you buy from a non-Jew, they have to be megayrit. That's what Rabbi Yonah says. What?
That's
the reisa, according to the assumption? Yeah. The Pashup Shat in Shulchan Aruch is that Pilaskelem HaMateches is the reisa, and on Kalis Chuches is Midirabban. So the Ramban on Chumash writes that he thinks the whole Pilaskelem HaMateches is only on Asmach the Midirabban. But the Rabbi Aaron Alevi in his Sefer Berak HaBayis on the Torah HaBayis, Lahar Hashbo'ah, quotes the Ramban all the time. So in one place he quotes the Ramban as having said that it's Deraisa, and he interprets a whole pshat in the Pasuk based on that, on the assumption that Tfilas Kelim's Deraisa. So it's a question what the Ramban said. In Shulchan Aruch it's assumed that Tfilas Kelim HaMateches is Deraisa, and on glass is Midirabbanon, and the reason why, because if it would develop a hole, you would be able to fix it. Plastic, wooden Kelim, you don't need Tfilas Kelim, and China, earthenware kelim, you don't need Tfilas Kelim. China is usually glazed China, so that's a question whether the Shach quotes the Issa V'Heter. Speaking of the Issa V'Heter, every page he quotes an Issa V'Heter. Shach quotes the Issa V'Heter that China that's glazed, that's all the normal China, has a glass on top, needs Tfilas Kelim. By many the practices that needs Tfilas Kelim is suffix, so you shouldn't say a broch. Yeah. By many, the practices that on glazed china, you don't tevel at all. Rav Moshe in his sefer assumes you're not tevel at all. Rav Soloveitchik also assumed he's not tevel glazed china. Rabbi Gifter passed away a couple of years ago, so they wrote up his anhagas. Also, he wasn't tevel glazed china. One of the reasons why, but the reason doesn't always apply. One of the reasons why is that the Darkei Tshuva quotes from Nachrayim over here. Rav Moshe used to say this over. That years ago, they used to have glazed china was taka, half of the thickness of the kli was china, half of the thickness was glass. But if your mother goes to ceramics class and they paint the designs on china, and then they spray out a little bit of glass just to protect the painting, the design, either they spray on a little glass or they paint on a little bit of glass, it's mamash a hundredth of an inch. It's a mashu de mashu. So that's what many poskim say. That's not called mitzupa b'schuch. Mitzupa b'schuch means you have a whole thick layer of glass on top of the china. I'm not sure. How can you tell? So when you go to a wedding, usually when they have the tenoyim, so they pick a china plate. So go over and open up the bag and see. You'll be able to see when it's broken. How much of the thickness? A lot of times, half of the thickness is the glass. It's not just the mashu hu de mashu. So I don't know exactly why, but that's many have the practice. The Yekkes have the practice that tevel china dishes that are glazed, as it says in the Shach B'Shem Yisav Heta, and many others are mekal on that. They're not tevel of china dishes, even though they seem to have a thick layer of glass on top. What about plastic dishes? Plastic didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. So most of the contemporary poskim, most of the poskim in the last 50 years, hold that you don't have to be tevel plastic. It's not min haTorah, and it didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim, so it's not min haRabbanan either. Why should we make duk takonis? The Minchas Yitzchak always has the practice of being machmer on everything. The quote 25 achrenim say l'hakan, one Hungarian has to be Hungarian achren. He was Hungarian. One Hungarian achren says l'hakmer. So it's obvious that the din is lachm. One Hungarian chumer outweighs 24 normal poskim. So the Minchas Yitzchak writes, you have to be tevel the two kinds of plastic Tupperware, two kinds. Some of the Tupperware, if you leave it too close to the fire, will melt. So that plastic, if it'll develop a hole, you can hold it near the fire, it'll melt, and the hole will fix. So it's taka the same as glass, in the sense that if it'll make a hole, you can fix it again. And other plastic is not so. You hold it near the fire, it'll get harder. It's not going to melt. So the Minchas Yitzchak said, that's a Rabbi Broya Zacharna Lebracha from the community, used to hold like that. It was also Hungarian. That if it's the plastic that can melt, so it has a chumra midirabbanan, you have to have tefillah skelim, like the glass. And if it's the plastic just going to get harder, it's not going to melt, you won't be able to fix a hole, then it does need tefillah skelim. The Minchas Yitzchak, dying wise from the Eirach Haredes, he always quotes a lot. So when he has his tshuva about the plastic kelim, so he quotes Chacham Avadya. So Chacham Avadya got the last word in, so he says, what did he quote me? I said, you don't need tefillas kelim. So what did he quote me in vain? He says, look in the Chacham Avadya's tshuva. Look in my tshuva, I said, not like him, that you don't need tefillas kelim. He writes that he's upset about that. Why, he quoted him out of context as if he's agreeing with him, he's not agreeing with him.
We don't make a bracha on
glass. You don't say a bracha on
glass.
Pashto says you do say a bracha on glass. The Gemara says it's a takana midirabbanan. that you need tefillas kelim on glass. Yeah.
Even though it's stuff like it might be similar to
chayes. Pardon me?
Even though the Gemara it might be similar to chayes, which doesn't require.
Why can the glass be similar to chayes? Why the two kinds of glass also?
No, in the Gemara in the Shabbos it says maybe it's similar to metal, maybe it's similar to
chayes,
because of the sand, that's
made from
the sand.
The Gemara says that glass kelim ha-mekabel tumah only midirabbanon. Yeah, not in Chumash, doesn't say it's only midirabbanon. The Gemara says it has certain dinim like mateches, and certain dinim like clay cheres. Yeah, but here the Gemara, the end of Avodah Zarah, says, when you get the tefillas kelim, the main takana derabbanon, that it does need tefillas kelim. Pashta says you do need a bracha on glass kelim. If it's only mesupe bezchuchis, so that's a shaila. So those who are toivel china dishes that are glazed, so they don't say a bracha on them. That's in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say have china dishes that are coated with metal. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch where they need tefillas kelim or not. So the Rama says the minig is yitovel b'li bracha if it's mesupe ba'avor, if it's coated with lead. And if it's coated with a glass, that's like a machloikis on top of a machloikis. So those who are machmen to be tevil china dishes that are glazed, for sure they wouldn't say a broch. Because even if it would have been coated with metal, you wouldn't say a broch. So the Gemara says you only have to have tefillas kelim on clay suda. Oh, we started before. The pasuk says, ach b'mei nida yischato. So the Gemara has the drasha, b'mayim sha'nida tevelas ben. What they say, Maim Shanira Tavelas Ben. They should have said, Ach b'mei mikveh yischato. What do you have to give a mashal to a mei nido? So Tosis explains on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, Min HaTorah, if you have a kli that's tumah, you want to remove the tumah, you can be tovel in a mikveh that has a revius. A revius is very little. If it's a needle that can fit into a revius, if it's a becher, if it's a fork or a knife, that means more than a revius, they need more. But you don't need memsor. That's midirabbanon. The Gemara says, batluhu lirviyasa. Midirabbanon, they're mevatel ladin there, right? So you're not allowed to be tevil tamidika kelim and a mikveh less than memsor. So Taisa says, but Odom, a nida who's tevil and a mikveh for sure needs a memsor. For kelim that are tamid, to remove tumah, you don't need memsor minatari. All you need is a revius, or a minimum a revius. You need enough water that the kli should be nitval pamachas. But by tvilas kelim, that you bought from a nachri, that you need memsor minatar. That's not midirabbanan, the memsor. That's minatar. That's what Tosis explained. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That you need the memsor minatar. So again, the din only applies to clay suda.
Is it only, what about a spring or something like that?
What about?
A spring. Tovel
kelim
to a spring.
A mayon.
Yeah.
A mayon also needs memsor. For Odom, there's a machlokes whether Mayon needs Memsor or not. So we're machmer on that, a Mayon needs Memsor even for Odom, we assume in our Torah. The Rashba in the Torah Habayis writes a remez, a gematria, that a Mayon needs Memsor in our Torah for Odom, because there's a pasuk in Novi that speaks about the Meha Shiloach Aholchim La'at. Shiloach was a Mayon outside of Yerushalayim. I remember when I took Paradise Lost here in the college, so the professor never heard of Mei HaShiloach. He thought it was Shiloh. He didn't understand why. Who wrote the Paradise Lost? John somebody.
Milton.
John Milton. So he didn't understand why did Milton write Shiloah. It's Shiloh. So the students had to tell him there's a Mayan that's called Shiloach. So the pasuk says, Mei HaShiloach HaHochim La'at Lamed Aleph Tes. The matri of Lamed Aleph Tes is 40. So that's a Beferish Eraim in HaTorah that the Mayon needs Memsor for Tefillas Kelim. A Tefillas Adam. That's the Rashba's Gematria. And the Torah Sabbath, he quotes it from Rishonim before. So since we need for Tefillas Adam, we need Memsor for Mayon. That's Machlokes, whether that's true. So we're Machma over here also. For Tefillas Kelim, if you want to use a Mayon, it has to be also Memsor. Have that Memsor together. You only need Tefillas kelim on clay suda, on clothing, the Gemara says you buy a pair of pants, you don't need tefillas kelim. And there's a question, how close to the final product of the food does it have to be that it's called clay suda? So if you use forks and knives or metal plates, let's say the prisoners in jail, they're eating on metal plates, according to the movies. So then the metal plates need tefillas kelim. the pot that you cook the food in also needs tefillas kelim. What about the sakan shel shechita that's so far in advance? What about the sickle that you harvest the stuff in the ground? That's called klei suda. That's a there's so many malachas missing. Sidur the pas. You have so many malachas from the time you harvest it till the time you're going to get to eat it. So that's the sickle probably that you harvest with probably does not need tefillas kelim. The sakan shel shechita is a machlekes rishonim. Is that too far in advance? So the sakan shel shechita you need tefillah b'li bracha. What about when you're making matzahs on Pesach? So they want to make sure that the matzah dough doesn't rise. So they have a raider that makes holes. They go, it's a round thing, and you roll it. So that's a shaila. Is that considered too far in advance of the final product? You don't need to be a skelim. What you do, so you should be tevel the raider, b'li brach. Okay. Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush, which many do not agree with, that a toaster doesn't need to be a skelim. When you bake the bread in the oven, so the baking tin needs tefillas kelim, that's the klei suda, you're preparing the bread. When you eat the bread, the chveis, with a fork and a knife, if the guy's eating with a fork and a knife bread, they need tefillas kelim. But the toaster doesn't make it roi l'achila, the baking tin in the oven made it roi l'achila. And it's not the final eating of the bread, it's just to give it a different flavor, a different texture when you toast it. He thinks that the toaster is not called klei suda. And others disagree. They think that it's also called klei suda. The only time you need tefillas kelim is if the thing once belonged to a nochri and now a Jew takes over ownership, like the klei midyan. After the Muhammad used to belong to the midyanim. What if it never belonged to a goy? So then, let's say the kelim, the company who manufactured it, was a Jewish company, so it never belonged to a guy. I buy from the company. So there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. So now there's a question, Ruba, the Ruba came out, all companies are incorporated. And according to the International Deed of the Machusa Corporation, doesn't belong to the owner. He's incorporated. It belongs to the dummy corporation that's called the Chaloshem Bailam. Not owned by a person or a group of people, should it's owned by the Chaloshem Bailas of the corporation. So that was a big machlekes the last 100 years, whether the halacha also recognizes. The halacha recognizes such an ownership as chaloshem bailus. If tzedakah owns something, tzedakah owns, hekdesh owns, that's a chaloshem bailam. Doesn't mean that God owns it, hekdesh doesn't mean the Rebbeinu Shlomo owns it. Tzedakah owns a hekdesh owns. There is such a thing, a chaloshem bailam. But the machlekes was whether the halacha recognizes the din and the malchusa, that when you have a corporation, everything belongs to the dummy corporation. It's not a person, it's not a Jew, it's not a guy, it's not a person. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that the halacha does not recognize that part of corporations that is owned by the Chaloshem Bailam. Rav Moshe says there's limited liabilities. So let's say if the company doesn't have money to pay, so even though everything belongs to me, the halacha says everything is mine, but that's what a corporation means, that there's no shibud aguf, there's only shibud nechasim. You can only take, if you are owed money, you can only take money from the assets of the corporation, you can't take from me. Moshe says, yeah, we accept that. That's understood. There's no shibud aguf. But he says, still, it belongs to me. So that's a big shada. That was a big machlekes the last 100 years. Menachas Yitzchak has a long tshuva, and everything has long tshuvas, where he quotes everybody. So he quotes he has more than one tshuva about this. He quotes all of the Hungarian Poskim, all the Gdolim who discussed the matter, pro and con, different opinions. It's really questionable if you hold that the halacha does recognize the corporation as being owned by the dummy corporation, it's not owned by the nochri, so then you buy the kelim, it never belonged to a guy. So then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. So you should really, the maximum you should do is to be tevel b'li brocha. It's not really right to say a brocha. If you have a toaster, let's say, according to those who hold, you have to be tevel toaster.
Most kelim, that would be most kelim.
I think so. Yeah, most kelim would be like that. They're all today. Everything is everybody's incorporated. Yeah.
Who is still making a bracha?
Pardon me.
Still making a bracha. Yeah, in tevel kelim.
It's very questionable whether it's correct. Pashta says they shouldn't say bracha because all the kelim were owned by corporations. Unless it was owned by a storekeeper, unless it was done at one time by a real non-Jew. But if every step of the way was owned by a corporation, so it never belonged to a nochri. If you follow Din and the Machusa, that it's owned by the dummy corporation, that's not a human being. So he's not Jewish, he's not a guy. Yeah. If you have a toaster, let's say those who hold you have to be toivel toasters, so it has an electrical element. So the electric element doesn't get ruined if you dip it in the mikveh. If you have an electrical, if you have a motor, that's going to get ruined if you're toivel. So there's no mitzvah to be toivel a kli. If you're going to ruin it, the mitzvah is to be toivel and then use it. You're going to toivel and ruin it, so there's no mitzvah over there. So some will have the practice of making a shutfus for the non-Jew. If you have a shutfus for the non-Jew and the kli, there's no mitzvah tefilas ken. Another thing is not even necessary to have a shutfus for the non-Jew. Potter from tefilah, potter is potter. You're not mechuyev over there to do tefilas ken. Some gedolim held, I think Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland, he was a big poisek 70 years ago. So he writes in his sefer, Chalkas Yagal, I think his sefer is. He was a mechuntam of the Minchas Yitzchak. So they disagree a lot of times on each other. So he, in his sefer, he is of the opinion that any apply, let's say a toaster that you have to plug in, so since it only works if it's plugged into the wall, that's called mechuba lekarka dina kikarka, and therefore it doesn't have a din of a kli. The Gemara has, if it's a mechuba, it can't be a kli. And if it's not a kli, then it's not mitzvah of tefilas kelim. So this is very questionable, whether that's correct. That's called mechuba lekarka. The tolish of the sof chibroi, and it's only it's ain daita levatlo. You're only going to leave it there. The Gemara Chulin Daf Tezayin has a long discussion about tolish of the sof chibroi in different areas. When you plant a tree and it takes root, that's called mechuba lekarka. You build a house, you make a telephone pole or an electric pole or something like that that's cemented into the ground. That's tolish of the sof chibroi. It's not mechuba lekarka because it's lehishrish. Tolish of b'sav chibur is a question and call it harakulu at the dinis. But if you only temporarily plugged it in, you don't plan to leave the plug in permanently. You got to take it out right away. So then the Gemara says, for sure, that tolish b'sav chibur sure is called tolish. And that's not called mechubur, tolish. Even if you plug it in and you leave the plug in the yoylem void for 20 years, that's not tolish b'sav chibur means I stuck it, it's stuck into the wall and can't budge. Here I can move the toaster around. That's not called tolish b'savchim. It's a shvera word. It's a very difficult word to say like that. That it's considered mechuber and therefore it's not a kli. It's a little bit of a joke. Anyway, but that's some gedolim had that opinion. Yeah.
I understand. Even if you say like the mitzvah only applies where it's not going to break or you can use it, it's not also like I guess like a to not share you. Like is it, maybe still then you're stuck.
No, what's a din if b'di'evit someone cooked food in a pot that they were not toivel? So there is an opinion, the last half of the Zohar, there is an opinion in the Rishonim that you're not allowed to eat the food. If you're going to eat the food, you wouldn't have eaten it raw, you only ate it because it was cooked, and it was cooked in a kli that didn't have tefillah. So it's also b'di'evit, not that the food is treif, but if you leak the food, then it'll turn out that you're mevatel a mitzvah of tefillah. If you don't eat the food, you weren't mevatel a mitzvah of tefillah. You don't eat the food. Tosfos says not so. Tosfos says the food does not become osur. Even if you wouldn't eat the food raw, and someone cooked it by mistake in a kli that was not getayvel, so that we pass on Shulchan Aruch that we don't accept that opinion that it's osur b'di'evit. No, but there's a mitzvah to be toivel a kelim. But the Pashto said the mitzvah is if it's possible. If it's not possible, so there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. If the kli will get ruined, not that it's not possible, there's no mikveh in North America. It's not possible that the kli will get ruined. So the Pashto says, b'kiyai gavna, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah, so there's no bitla mitzvah if you're going to eat the food without being toivel.
The whole basis of the food being osur is just like a sort of knas. It's all mitzvah.
I don't think they meant the knas. I think they meant minatoira. I think the Rishonim said, osur b'di'evit, to eat the food, they mean minatur. If you eat the food, then it will constitute a bitla mitzvah. Let's say I have a metal plate that I feed the dog. That doesn't need tefillas kelim. That's only clay suda where people are going to eat. So if I cook food just for practice, and no one eats the food, Jewish people, I cook food for the goyim. I have goyisha workers, and I cook food to feed to the goyim. So there's no mitzvah of tefillas kelim. I have a whole factory and goyish workers and I feed them tray for food. So you don't need tefillas kelim if the Jews are not going to eat from the food. So if you cook the food and then you're going to eat it, cook the food in the kli that was not getoveled, then you're going to eat it. When eating it, you're mevatel limits. So they say don't eat it. So we don't pass like that. We don't accept that opinion.
Is there in necessary to borrow clay from a Jew who didn't do Tefillas Kelim and to use that clay. They're not interested in doing that. So.
Is there a mitzvah to
is
do?
Is there a mitzvah to use the kelim?
And if I'm visiting by someone else, that's a big question. If I'm visiting by someone else who doesn't observe the mitzvah Tefillas Kelim, so they say it's his mitzvah. He didn't do the mitzvah, that's his problem. It has nothing to do with me. Or he say no. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds pretty clear, the quote of Rav Yoh, that even if you're visiting by someone else, if he's not Tefillas Kelim, I'm a vatal the mitzvah. You're not allowed to, you're not allowed to eat Tefillas Kelim. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Kook, Zuchan Lebracha, has a tshuva about this. He thinks that that's not mistaber. And he thought, look, you can't argue with the Shulchan Aruch. It's not Shulchan Aruch that it's also. But he says, it doesn't say explicitly about Klei Schuchas. He says, since Schuchas is only with the Rabbanon, he thinks that it's not, he doesn't really think that this makes sense. So he thinks that you could be make along Klei Schuchas. If you're eating by someone who is not Tevel HaKelim, so try to make it into a Klei Schuchas. Rav Moshe Feinstein, every summer for many years, always used to visit a certain family. And they always used to give him, they didn't give him food in the mountains. And they always used to give him a cup of hot tea. And he always said he would like to have it in a mug. They always wanted to give it to him in a glass. And he always said he always drinks his tea in a china mug. So the Balabasta felt insulted that Rav Moshe was choshed that she wasn't Tevel HaKelim. He didn't say, he just said he likes to drink it in a china mug. She said she was Tevel HaKelim. What's wrong about it? Do you want to drink in a glass? I guess that was his, he didn't know, so he didn't want to get involved. So he said he always likes to drink it in a mug.
When it comes to scissors, to cut open a lot of food items, is that a scissor?
You mean you cut a chicken with the big scissors?
Yeah, or let's say not a chicken, let's say like you cut like the cheese bags or whatever, like the plastics, the milk or whatever. That's not, it doesn't touch the food, but touches the bag. You cut open the bags of the food.
Oh, to cut the bag open? Yeah. Nah, that for sure doesn't need Tefillas Kelim. But sometimes you have gigantic chicken scissors that you cut chickens with. So if you cut the chicken after it's cooked already, then for sure you need Tefillas Kelim. Even if you cut the chicken before you bake it, before you cook it, that's like the Sakan Shel Shchita, so maybe you shouldn't say a bracha on it. But you still need Tefillas Kelim or not. Even if it's far in advance, you still need Tefillas Kelim. In the Shulchan Aruch, they say you should be careful when you're Tevel HaKelim, let's say you're holding it in your hand. You don't want to drop it in the mikveh. So the spot that you're holding it, the water of the mikveh is not going to touch the kli. So you have to be a little loose. If you're going to loose, it's going to fall to the bottom of the mikveh. How are you going to get it? It's 5 feet deep. How are you going to get it? So you have to have your hand a little loose and not too tight and so on. Otherwise, they won't have any bias mind. If you have a sticker on the bottom of the kli, so that's sometimes a chatzitza, sometimes not a chatzitza. If you're going to serve, you're going to use this kli with the sticker. The sticker says that this is solid gold or something, so you're going to show everybody. You're going to be very proud of the fact that it has the sticker and it says it's 14 karat gold or whatever. So then it's a miyachena makbet. That's, I want to leave it on the kli. If the pashta says you do want to scrape it off, so then it's a miyuta makbet. So the din is a minator, it's only chatzit if it's rubo makbet. I mean, the Rabbanan, the Miyut HaMakbid or Ruba Shene Makbid is also a Chatzitza. There is an opinion which we don't follow, but sometimes you mitzarf this opinion. The Gemara in Yevam, Daf Ein Ches, talks about a Mu'uberis who's Tovel in the Mikveh for the purpose of converting. A non-Jewish woman is pregnant, she's Tovel in the Mikveh. So the Gemara says there about Ruba HaMakbid, the Gemara talks there about Kuloi. The Uber, the Tefillah in the Mikveh is good for the Uber also, and the Gemara somehow says, the Gemara somehow is not worried about the Chatzitza de Rabbanon of a Miut HaMakbid. What are they only worried about the Chatzitza de Raisa? So the Tosfos Yeshanim writes on the Gemara in Yevamos that the Chumrim de Rabbanon, that a Miut HaMakbid or Ruba Shena Makbid is a Chatzitza, was not introduced when they get to Tefillah Shel Geirus. So we don't rely on that thesis when a ger or a georist is converting in the mikveh. We ask him to take care of, to remove all the chatzitzas, even a miyuta makbid. We don't rely on that. And the same over here. This, the Issa v'Heta Harach Ben Yonah wrote that the Tefillas Kelim is in a certain sense a geirus on the kelim. You're converting the kelim to make them Jewish. So also we wouldn't rely on that thesis Shoshanim. Sometimes you have different svaras lahakel, so you can be mitzarv that as well. But as I normally, we would insist on removing all the chatzitza, unless a mil chain or makbet, then it's not a chatzitza. Sometimes you have a stick, and the balabasta, the dafke, wants to leave the stick around. Or she doesn't care at all. Whether you leave the stick, you don't leave the stick. So then it's a mil chain or makbet. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say I once bought the kelim from the goy and I was tovel them in a mikveh, and then it comes Pesach. So the din is in the Gemara that there's no bal yirah bal imotzei, I'm blias in a kli. So you don't have to sell your kli to the goy. What happens? Some people, some balabostas are such sloppy cooks. They have spaghetti crusted on the top, not just the blia in the pot. They have noodles, a spaghetti crusted onto the pot itself, and they don't scrape it off. So some of the stuff is still edible. If you scrape it off, it's edible. Roy Lachilas Adam. So they want to sell all the chamer. Okay, so some had the practice, they sold the kelim to the goy. Some of the rabbanim in Europe used to have a shtar mechiras chamers, where they write they're selling all the chametz, and they're selling all the pots in which the chametz was cooked. So the gedolim point out, once you sell the kelim to the goy, you buy it back after Pesach, you got to be toivel again. So it's on the Shulchan Aruch, even though you were toivel the kli once, but once you sell it to the guy, you buy it back, then you have to be toivel again. Right. So you say that you're selling all the chametz that's stuck onto the kelim. If the rabbi thinks that he has balabatim who have noodles stuck on the surface of the chametz dikke kelim, so he has to say, we're selling the chametz that's stuck on the chametz dikke kelim, but you don't sell the kelim themselves.
Is that an eitzah if someone were trying to want to make a bracha on something that was from a corporation to sell it, go ahead and buy it back?
Okay. If the person is just dying to say a bracha, let him sell it to him and buy back, so you know for sure it belonged to the guy. Okay. What if you have, let's say, before Kodim corporations, when you don't have corporations, let's say you have a Jewish company, it's owned by a Jewish person, but the workers are going, so do you need tefillas kelim when you buy from that company? So you don't, because the kelim and the company, the factory is owned by a Jewish person, just because the workers are not Jewish. They do not own the kelim. However, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tosfos and Bava Kamma and other places. There are two types of workers. There's a poel and there's a kablon. A poel gets paid by the hour. Let's say he works from 9 to 5. Whether he does a lot of work, whether the secretary types 10 letters a day, she types 5,000 letters a day, she gets the same salary. She works from 9 to 5. And let's say a craftsman, an artist, whether he made 100 bechas today, he made 5 bechas today, gets the same salary, he works from 9 to 5, gets paid by the hour. So a poel, for sure, doesn't acquire ownership in the stuff that he does. But if a person is a kablon, he gets paid per piece. He gets paid for every becha that he makes, he gets paid $10. He's a very fancy artist or craftsman, and he gets paid by the piece. He doesn't get paid by the hour. He's not a poel, he's a kablon. So then it's a machle, discussion in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma, whether umen koine b'shvachakli. Umen means that he's not a poel, he's a kablon. Maybe he's koine b'shvachakli, means like this. The owner of the company gives me so much silver that's worth $200 worth of silver. And he tells me, you're an expert, you use your fingers and you make a fancy becher. So I make a fancy becher, and now it started off as plain silver is worth $200, now it's worth $750. So do you say, but I agreed in advance, I'm going to do the work for him for $20. I'll take the silver, make it into a becher. For $20, every becher that I make, he pays me $20. So is the pshat, I'm salaried for the work that I do. I'm paid $20 for doing the work to make a becher. What do you say? No. The silver used to be worth $200. Now it's going to be worth $750. So the extra $550 is mine. Umay koine b'shvach hakli. He appreciated the value of the kli, and I agreed to sell the balabas the $550 worth extra value that the becher is worth over and above the raw material that he gave me. I agreed to sell it back to him for $20. So that's a shaila in the Gemara. When the balabas pays the uman, is he paying him? So there's a din of biyoma titan schara, a solom for losachri itcha boiker. Oh no, it's the mehamech. I'm selling the $550 value of the it's worth $750 instead of $200. So the extra $550 belongs to the Uma Kerne Shvacha Kli, and he agreed to sell it to the one who gave him the raw material for $20. And then it's the Mehamekach, so it's not called Schiris Poil. So Tosis says it'll chap an afkamina, and that the Gemara says it'll be an afkamina where the Uma Kerne Shvacha Kli, and again too, the Solom Pulcha Socher Itchad Boike. And Tosis says it'll chap an afkamina over here whether you'll need Tfilah Skele. But we don't have like that. We don't have companies where they pay the Goyish workers by their unit. They pay them by the day. They work from 9 to 5, and they get paid by the hour. They don't get, so we don't have that shayla. But in Shulchan Aruch, that's a discussion that they have. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about the tinfoil pins that you buy in the store. He says that if the minig ha'olam is that they only use it once, then they throw it out in the garbage, that doesn't have a shame kli. And he says it based on a Mishnah in Kalim, that they used to hollow out a pumpkin, and they used to make a kli out of it, and the nature of the pumpkin is such that it can only be used once. So since it's kli, it's only used once, so that doesn't have a din kli, it's not a kabotum, and a melef, it's not a kli, so it doesn't require tefila scale. Rav Moshe even applied it to a tinfoil pan, where theoretically you can use it, you can reuse it many times, except that in America it doesn't pay. You're going to want to reuse it, you're going to spend 20 minutes washing it out, that it doesn't pay. The time, 20 minutes washing out the kli is worth money also. So we in America, everybody's wealthy, so we throw it in the garbage for another 50 cents. I'll buy myself another tin foil pan. So that's what Moshe says, if you only plan to use it once and you're going to throw it out, then you don't need tefillah skin. He's not sure how many times. He has a proof from the Mishnah that a kli that's only used once doesn't have a din kli. He's not sure how many times that you have to plan to use it. What if you plan to use it twice? You make a kugel and then you wash it out after Shabbos, you use it a second time, and more than twice you never use it. What if you only use it twice? What if you only use it three times? He's not sure. So he says if he planned to use it more than once, he thinks he should need tefillah skelem even for the first time. People misunderstood what he said. They thought when you buy pots and pans from the store, the first time you have a dispensation. First time you want to use it, you don't have to be tefillah. He said that's not what he said. He said if you have a kli that's only intended to be used once, then thrown out in the garbage, that's not called a kli.
Would that be a form of the kiddush, making kiddush on a cup that's plastic? If you decide that you want to use that, if you decide that you'll keep it for three or four times, can that make it into a kli versus the kiddush?
That's Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you shouldn't make kiddush over a plastic cup because it's like a kli shover. Let's say you have a becher that's chipped on top. So it's not covered a bracha to say a bracha on a kli that's chipped. So he says a silver becher that's chipped a little bit on top is more valuable than the 3 cent plastic cup. So he says, and still you can't use a kli that's a little bit chipped on top. Skalachim, you shouldn't use a plastic cup. I don't know why they quote Rabbi Yashiv wasn't so convinced that Rav Moshe was right. I thought it's ABC. No, it doesn't make sense. Shouldn't be a kalachim. I don't know. They said Rabbi Yashiv, but he gave the shiur, wasn't so convinced. And then they asked him, you mean disagree with Rav Moshe Feinstein? So he says, I don't know. He didn't want to say he disagrees with Rav Moshe Feinstein. I thought it made sense. He said, so that's a good question. Since the minhag olam is to use a plastic cup, you throw it out, so it shouldn't be called the kli at all. So it should be, not only should be, if you have a chipped cup, so b'shasatcha can use it for kiddush. It's preferable not to use it, but b'shasatcha can may use it. So what about can you use a plastic cup b'shasatcha? So the boss can assume you can use a plastic cup for the purpose of netilas yadayim. Where's the kli? If the minhag is that you use a plastic cup once, then you throw it in the garbage. I mean, if you're eating a meal, you're going to fill up the cup a second time with soda again. You're not just going to fill it up once, then throw it out and take another plastic cup. Every time you want to have another drink of soda in the middle of the meal.
Not, but if you are in that situation, because you're in that situation, you're willing to use it three or four times just to be able to
this
promotion.
Yeah.
Would that change the status?
Would that change
the
status that what?
That it's now a
clean. But again, we assume it is a clean. It's a pella. Why? We assume you do use a plastic cup to wash until it's a night. Question, why are we here? Rav Henkin, I think, others say, you can use, why can you use a plastic cup?
Would Rebbe think that it's shy to be machmer, or is it already accepted that we don't have to
be? I don't know, that's a good question. How come we're all making on the plastic cups as good for the tilis yadayim? And Moshe said it's no good for kiddush, a different reason, that it's like a chipped kli. It's a cheap thing, it's not covered at bracha.
No, but I think he means like even, like the plastic cups in tilis yadayim, like our hard plastic, we reuse that. I think you're talking about
a
very flimsy plastic you throw out, right?
Usually, yeah. So a flimsy plastic cup, we assume that it's good for the tilts. The question is why?
Oh, okay.
So the question is why? We ought to assume that it doesn't have a din kli. because you only use it once. So the answer is no, you use it a few times in the meal. That's called using it a few times. After the meal is over, you throw it out. But if you want another cup of soda, you're going to fill in the same cup. That's called using it twice. I don't know. Yeah, what about this? Sridhar Yesh has a letter that he sent to Rabbi Gifter. Rabbi Gifter was known as a big letter writer. As a teenager, he used to send letters to all the Rabbanim in America. They thought he was a big rabbi. They didn't know who he was. He had a fancy handwriting. And he was just a teenager. He was learning here in MTA. So they all wrote him back, what a rabbi going? They didn't know who he was. So he used to always write. He was a sharp, fast letter writer. I remember, every time he read a Dvar Torah of mine, he would always send, shoot a letter off right away. So once I got a special delivery letter, he backed out from what he wrote in the letter. He disagreed with something that I said. Then he realized he made a mistake. So he sent me a special delivery letter that I got before the letter. So I got the harata before the original thing. It was always very quick. So he wrote to everybody. So he wrote to the Sridhar Yesh. So one of the tshuvas is to Rabbi Gifter in America, when you come home and you bought, let's say, orange juice in a glass bottle, or you bought canned food in a can. So why don't you need tefillah's kit? When you come home, why don't you have to empty out the orange juice, be toivel the glass in the mikveh, and then put the orange juice back in? When you come home with 25 cans of tuna fish, why don't you have to open up all the cans, empty out all the contents, be toivel all the cans, and then put the contents back in? So this Sridhar Yesh says, we assume that that's called Hishtamshus B'Shevi Al Tasa. I brought the cans home and the food is sitting in the can. I didn't put it in the can, just sitting there. If I'll empty out the orange juice from the glass bottle, not if it's a plastic bottle, because years ago I used to sell it in a glass bottle. If you empty out the glass bottle, then you want to rinse out the bottle and reuse it, so then you're going to need tefillah's kelim, because it used to belong to a Goyisha company. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a cool about that also, that they're not so happy about it. Rav Moshe says, the company who filled up the bottle with the orange juice or the wine, let's say, there's a wine company, so they filled it up, so they didn't intend that the bottle should be reused. They only intended to use it once. They're selling you wine in a bottle. Then you finish the whole bottle of wine. Let's say you have wine left over, and then you want to pour it back into the big bottle, but don't want to have a toivel bottle. So that's not right. To leave the wine in the bottle, that's Hishtamshus B'Shevi Al Tasa. So you don't need tefillah's kelim for that. But if I'm going to pour some of the wine back into the bottle, so for that you do need tefillah's kelim. So then Rav Moshe says, let's say I have a big bottle, a big gallon bottle of wine, and every week I pour a little wine out for Kiddush Avdallah, and then I finish the whole bottle. Then I wash it out, then I want to pour orange juice in that bottle. So then you have to have tefillah's kelim. So Moshe says, no, the company only used it as a bottle to use it once. So that's not called a kli. You're the one who wants to reuse it. So a Jew made it into a kli. By the Goyisha company, when it belonged to the Goy, it wasn't a kli because it was intended to be used once and thrown into the garbage. You're the one who made it. Then since it was made, the Bishus HaYisrael said there's no need for tefillah's kelim. Others disagree with the Moshe. Like we have the Beis Yitzchok, so the Gates of Yeshiva also puts out. Maybe this is better than ours. I don't know. Maybe ours is better than theirs. So they have such a Chaveres Chidush Yeter. So many years ago, 30, 40 years ago, they put out a Chaveres Chidush Yeter. Each one of the members of Gates Said Koilo wrote Bira Halacha. So one of them wrote a whole attack against Rav Moshe on this. So what are you talking about? The thing was a kli by the original company. So that's very questionable. Yeah?
Did you say that the point of Moshe might get a problem with reusing it on Shabbos because of Mecca from Shabbos? That you've taken over the kli on Shabbos? If you're refilling that bottle on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So you've now made it your
Rishus
on Shabbos.
What do you mean made it my Rishus? Before it didn't belong to me.
Well, where Moshe was saying that you created the Kli.
I made it into a Kli, yeah, so before it wasn't a Kli.
So you're making a Kli on Shabbos.
I mean, it should be Mesak and Mana.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Machshava. I don't know if you violate the Malacha Mesak and Mana, Machshava. I don't think so.
Also about the tuna fish cans, don't you already have the first factor that the tuna fish is that you only use once, you don't reuse it, you can't even seal it back up.
Right. In other countries in the world, in Africa, they wouldn't throw out any cans. When they would empty out the can, they'll use it and reuse it many times over. In America, we throw out all the cans. It doesn't pay for us. We buy pots and pans. But other countries, they would reuse it.
Did Rebbe not mock me on this? Someone told me the shame that if someone buys like a glass bottle, it doesn't. He has to pour it out, and he can't use it. The person can drink from the bottle.
Drink from the bottle?
Yeah.
No, that's not right. Then your mamish, that's mishtamish bekumi asay from the bottle. When I leave the soda in the glass bottle, that's mishtamish b'shev altas. But if I'm going to drink directly from the bottle, that's I'm using the bottle like a cup to drink it. That's mishtamish bekumi asay. Probably you shouldn't do. Probably you should not do.
They sell them as like Snapple bottles and Coke bottles that are glass.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't drink from.
The Pashta says you shouldn't. So this Rav Yesh has a whole tshuva where he tried to defend the practice, why people are maybe, why they are allowed to drink directly from the bottom. So it's a very questionable kula. In Shulchan Aruch they discuss whether the lid of a kli needs tefillas kelim. So they say if you have a cookie jar, the lid is just for the purpose of keeping dust out, or keeping the children's fingers out, or whatever. But it's not for the purpose of holding the cookies in. So the lid is not machzik the food, only the bottom contains the food. But if you have a pot that you cook soup in, so the lid is there so that when the soup cooks and it starts to evaporate, it should bounce down. The steam should go up and then it should condense and it should go back in. So the lid of a frying pan or the lid of a soup pot needs tefillas kelim, and the lid of a cookie jar does not need tefillas kelim. What if you have a kli that's intended to hold another kli? You have a tripod, and then you have a fire on the bottom, and you put the pot on top of the tripod. So that in Shulchan Aruch they call it a tripod, I think. So it says that doesn't need tefillas kelim. A kli that's miyuchah to hold another kli. Or some people have glasses that they serve tea, hot tea and coffee in, and then they have metal holders to hold the glass that they shouldn't burn their fingers on it. So the metal container that holds the glass, that holds the food, doesn't need tefillas kelim, because the metal container holds a kli, it doesn't hold food. What happens, let's say you have a cookie dish, and the cookies are greasy, oily, and you don't want the grease and the oil to get onto the dish. So they always put a doily, or they put a napkin on the cookie tray before they put the cookies on. So the Darkei Tshuva talks about that. So he says that needs tefillas kelim, because the thing, it's not called a kli to hold a kli. It's not that the cookie dish holds the napkin and the napkin holds the cookies. The napkin is there to absorb the oil, but basically the cookie dish is holding the cookies. Even though the food is not touching, let's say my wife has a cholent pot and she always puts a plastic thing that the cholent shouldn't get stuck to the cholent pot. So the food in the cholent is never touching the cholent pot. But still, the cholent pot, the metal pot, is the thing that's holding the food. The plastic is that it shouldn't get stuck there. But that's not called the kli to hold another kli. The outside kli is holding the food. Behefsik dover achaytzeitz. So then you still need tefila scaling. There are many more dinim here. Okay? This is the beginning of Simon Kufraf.
If somebody brings candy in like a bread or something, is that considered a shamshus to come outside to eat the candy from there?
What does the person do?
A glass dish or something, there's candies in there. Like, sometimes people bring a gift for Shabbos for like little sections and each section has something. So
you're not allowed to take the food out?
You have to move it from there into another one. Or eating from there.
I mean, that's Hishtamshes B'Shev Altasa. Until you empty everything out, then you want to put something in, then it's going to be Bikon B'Yasei. That could be. Possible? I don't know. Probably is. That's probably Hishtamshes B'Shev Altasa.
That would be much of a Chachila to do? Because a nice lot of the store nowadays, if you buy, that's what people do when you go to Shabbos, you buy the candy dish or someone else, but there was no tefillah on that dish.
Right.
So you're giving it to someone else, and also the tefillah is not on you and not on them either. It can only be on the person you're giving it to.
Right.
So no matter what they're saying, it was problematic in terms of what to do, in terms of the tefillah.
The first time it's a shtam shes b'shev al tasa, yeah. But then if the guy wants to reuse it, then he has to be toivel again.
So why is it that Shabbos? It's
probably is mutter. So who's giving a shiur Sunday? I think Rabbi is giving the Sunday.
Yeah.